Welcome to Shit Your Teenagers Won't Tell You, a podcast about everything you need to know about teens.
I'm Kathy.
And I'm Meredith, and we speak teenager.
Did we also mention that we're best friends?
We've worked as admission officers, prep school administrators, and most importantly, have coached thousands of teens. In other words, we have seen it all.
So join us every week as we give you the lowdown on all the shit your teenager isn't telling you. Because trust us, there's a lot of it. And if you don't know what to do with the teenagers in your life, don't worry, we've got your back.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Shit Your Teenagers Won't Tell You with Kathy, the extraordinaire, and Meredith. Something that rhymes with extraordinaire that I can't think of.
That's a hard one.
It is. But it's not. If you just take the last part of the word, I was trying to think of hair because my hair is really big and curly today.
Oh, Meredith with the great hair.
There you go. See, I was like half a second behind. Anyway, today we have an exciting episode. A while back, we did an episode around what it is that we do with our life coaching practice. And when we're working with teens in sort of a life coaching capacity, what does that entail? What does that involve? What do the conversations look like? And today we thought it would be a good idea to talk about what independent college coaches, is what we call ourselves, or college counselors do. So what does college counseling look like? What are the functions of college counseling? And how is that maybe different or similar to life coaching? And Kathy and I are going to tackle it both from our personal perspectives, you know, because I think how we do college coaching at Village is not representative necessarily of how a lot of private college counselors or independent educational consultants, IECs is an acronym you might hear out there in the universe. We don't operate, I think, like a lot of IECs. So we're going to talk a little bit more about what we do and when we're working with students in a college counseling capacity, and then how that falls against sort of a spectrum of what college counseling can look like. So, Kathy, my dearest, light of my life, moon to my stars, what, if you had to describe what we do at Village or why you started Village in the first place, and you're only working with a student in sort of a college preparation capacity, so life coaching isn't sort of an explicit part of your work, what do you do all the time? What's that entail?
Well, it's not that different than what you and I both used to do when we were college counselors at the prep schools we worked at. To me, there was mentorship and life coaching as part of it, just because you like kids and you worked in a school and some kids would really be drawn to you. And so you ended up being their life coach / adult person in the school. As a college counselor, my job was to be the expert about the college process and shepherd my students through that process and complete a set of discrete tasks. So, list building, list, right? Extracurricular activities, how to think about them, what the role of the resume is, prepping for interviews, writing college essays. I was responsible for writing a letter of recommendation, helping them think about who they might ask for letters of recommendation from their teachers, college visit planning. So looking at a map and seeing where colleges actually are and actually planning a trip that would take 4 days or 5 days or longer or shorter. What am I missing? Oh, testing, big one. How to think about the testing calendar for you, how to think about ACT versus SAT, which scores to turn in. So all of the strategies surrounding that, strategies surrounding application planning. So am I going to apply early decision? Does it make sense for me to apply early? Because it doesn't for every kid. So am I only applying regular decision? What do reaches, targets, and likelies look like? How do I use my reach strategy in conjunction with my early strategy? So there's a lot of strategy pieces to it as well. Helping kids decide where to go to college, if they get waitlisted, how do you write a letter of continued interest? Should you write a letter of continued interest? How do you persuade a school to let you in off the waitlist? You can't really, by the way, side note. But like, what do you do, right? Looking through financial aid packages, potentially, more scholarship offers to see what's going to make the most sense. researching majors, figuring out what is going to be a best fit college. What am I missing, Meredith? My brain.
I think you hit most of it.
Did I?
Essays. Okay. You said essays, obviously supplements.
Supplemental essays and personal statement, essay editing.
That's pretty comprehensive. And I think when we work in schools, the piece that is distinct is that you're working with an entire class of students, whereas now we work with maybe just a handful of seniors going through the process. And your...
What was your caseload?
What was my caseload? Let's see, at Branson? Well, when I was first a director of college counseling, was in a public magnet school in Baltimore, and my caseload was insane. 200 and something.
Per class? Grade?
Per grade, yeah. And I had one assistant. Yeah, that was the class. So my caseload was like half that. And I wrote letters for all of them.
Whoa.
And I know. I was so young and had so much energy. And they were still good letters. They were not pro forma letters. And then I, you know, when you transition into independent schools, you'll typically see in independent school environments, a college counseling to student ratio of like one to maybe 35 to 40 in a class. So they'll have like 35 juniors, 35 seniors. And I would say my caseloads fell into that range a lot of the time. But then you're doing work with the younger grades. You're doing programming for all four grades, right? As part of a college counseling office. But back to your original question, no, I think you highlighted sort of the main components of what we did when we were college counselors in schools. College coaching out of a school context.
Before you answer that question, though, would you agree that that is also what IECs do? Like the vast majority of independent educational consultants are doing that work as well, not village specific.
Sure. All of those kinds of things. I would agree that they are likely touching on all of those topics. Yes, I would agree that those topics are the topics that get discussed.
And they should be. Like if you are hiring an IEC, you should be making sure that they are covering those topics.
Correct. You should be. I would say that what I'm seeing in the market for IECs is increased specialization. So now people have multiple IECs for different spokes on the wheel. There's someone that's just for essay writing. There's someone who's just helping you build your resume. And maybe they're also doing some list building. I suppose the one thing that we don't do that a lot of IECs also don't provide is we provide strategy for test taking, when to pace it out, what's the calendar going to look like, should you submit, should you not submit, but we don't do actual test prep.
Right, or it's subject-specific tutoring. So we're not tutoring.
Correct. Correct. So that's a point of distinction.
Okay, great. I just wanted to ask that question because a lot of times when parents call Village and they've been talking to other IECs
mm-hmm.
for college help, our model feels weird to them.
Mm. How so?
Well, they're just like, "What? How many meetings do you need to like make a college list?" You know, like it feels weird because we meet it. We'll talk about this more, but we meet with our students every week. It's really more life coaching than it is college coaching. I don't know if I want to say it's more life coaching than it is college coaching, but it is college coaching wrapped up under the umbrella of life coaching.
I would say the college process provides us with a convenient vehicle and sort of material to do developmental work with teens. And it happens to be this really important process that they have to pretty much go through anyway, that allows us to help kids grow. So I think our focus at Village is much broader and higher altitude and deeper. And the college process represents a component of that. But even when we're not, a lot of our clients, yours and mine, are kids that we're doing both with, right? We started with them when they were younger. We're doing life coaching. And then we're transitioning to more college stuff as they get older and enter the process more formally. But it's sort of always with this eye on holistic child development. And yeah, I think that is different. I've done college counseling. There was a brief period of time where I didn't work in schools, where I worked for a company.
Oh, yes.
that I really love. And I respect everyone there. They're all former. And I like them because each and every person in this company was a former admission counselor. So they didn't hire duds. Like, they hired good people. And what this company provided was a service. They partnered with Fortune 100 companies to provide as a benefit to employees a range of academic counseling services, which I thought was actually really cool. So, like, let's say, like, for example, I went to the Dole plant in Florida, and I'm meeting one-on-one with, like, the C-suite executive kid, but also the guy who's working the graveyard shift, his kid, right? And I kind of love the democratization of it. And they were both able to access the same expertise. So I thought the service was really high quality. But what makes that different than what we do at Village is the relationship. I'm in and out. I'm a flash in the pan in those people's lives. I'm kind of giving them a cookie cutter strategy to follow. It's sound, but it's not highly customized, highly individualized. It's not at all tending to the unique needs, preferences, goals of that child. It's pretty superficial. I think it does a great job for the vast majority of kids, and it was a free benefit, so why not? But what we do at Village feels just richer in a lot of different ways. And I don't mean to make this into like a commercial for your company, but you're like, I am. But I think it's more about you and I share this belief that college can be a transformative time. And it's a time of really holistic growth. And that it's an opportunity for young people to start practicing independent life skills that they need throughout their lifespan. And so the work that we're doing is trying to cultivate, reinforce those kinds of skills like self-discipline, self-motivation, self-directed behavior, and the college process, like building a list or researching colleges, allows us an opportunity to talk about those developmental goals with kids and gives them a chance to practice that before they go to college. So it's just, it's a different look. And so to do that well, and frankly, to make it more fun, you gotta know the kids. So we meet with students weekly and it's a blast. And it also, I think, takes off the pressure. It means that in any given week, from week to week, students get busy, they have busy lives, they procrastinate, they're, you know, 14, whatever. If they don't finish everything on our little to-do list from week to week, it's cool because we have a whole, we're taking this process and we're spreading it out over time. So it's not feeling so crazy stressful at any one moment. And it allows for us to really develop rapport and trust. And so when I ask them to do something, they're more likely to do it because they trust me. We have more fun together in this process. And it's a process that can be stressful for kids. So why not make it a little more fun? So I don't know. I like doing college coaching like that.
Me too. And I really like meeting with kids every week because it helps me hold them more accountable to what we're doing versus like if I saw a kid once a month and then they didn't do the thing I asked them to do the month before, like we just missed an entire month of you.
Yeah.
Not doing stuff that you were supposed to do. And that's, I can imagine that. So even when I'm meeting with a kid every other week, right, which occasionally we do, even with every other week kids, I'm kind of like, listen, you really have to do the thing I asked you to do in between weeks. And there are kids that I'm working with that they just need a little bit more handholding so that because we meet weekly, if they didn't do the thing that they were supposed to do last week, we just end up doing it during our call. I'm like, okay, let me show you. Let's like break it down even into smaller steps, right?
Right.
Google Doc. Okay. Heading. Write it down. What are the five colleges you're going to research? Okay. Pull up your FIS guide and let's do one together so we can model it. And so I can show you what I'm looking for you to do, you know, and some kids just really need that. And it's hard to know that until you're really working with a student and getting to know them and understanding their learning style and just their personality and how they are approaching the college process, which, like you said, oftentimes brings up a lot of stress and anxiety. And for a lot of kids who it does bring up a lot of stress and anxiety or self-doubt, it is harder to get them engaged in the process because it feels too scary to start researching. Like, what if I find out I can't get into the school? I don't want to know.
Yeah, I think one of the points of distinction I would draw as you were talking, I was thinking, what's so different about what the sort of philosophical stance that we take? And I think we are really focusing on the student. And we don't come in, you know, you and I have a lot of experience doing college counseling, and we've obviously worked in admissions. So there's a set of sort of guidelines and rules to follow and deadlines to follow and, you know, strategy that we're obviously going to embed in our work with students. But we are not, when I start working with a student in a college coaching capacity, I have no preconceived notion of where they're going to go. I don't come in with I haven't had a long conversation with the parents about, oh, they need to go to this type of school, this level of selectivity, and my job as their college coach is to make that happen for them, is to tell them everything that they need to do more of or do less of to get to that outcome. And there are a lot of IECs for whom that is how they do college coaching. It's all about outcomes. And I think for me, it's all about who the student is. Who do they want to become? Who are they right now? How do I meet them where they are right now? Help them discover their own goals. And I mean, so it's way more process oriented than outcome oriented.
Yeah. I was just thinking the same thing. We are very interested in how kids get there.
Yes.
We're not just interested in, oh, you want to go to this college? Okay, you need to do these things. And if you do these things, you'll get in, because nobody can guarantee that. I don't care what kind of marketing they're putting out there. There's just, it's very, very hard to game the system. Okay. Unless it's a Varsity Blues situation where you are just straight up paying schools illegally to admit students that are not qualified.
Yeah. And that didn't end well.
No, it did not end well. Don't do it. Don't recommend it. And you know, the sad thing is, it's still happening. I promise you.
Oh, 100%.
100% that it is absolutely still happening. And there are shady things happening in admissions. And don't do it. Don't work with companies who do that. I don't need to delineate all the reasons why that's bad, but highly recommend you don't engage in those processes. But the kids that we work with and the families that we work with, they like that we are doing this with their kids, that we're taking them through this more extensive and labor-intensive process, but is good for kids. I have to say, Meredith, like, kids who work with us, they have great college choices. They're happy with their college choices. And I mean, not always.
Not always, right.
They'll go and be like, wow, college is really hard. And this transition is really hard. The social transition is way harder than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Years who come back, who've graduated and are freshmen in college, will come back and talk to us some more, because they're just like, this is really hard and I'm having a hard time finding my people, or, you know, I'm not sure about, this professor is really awful, you know, whatever. And I think that's just a natural part of the college transition process. But generally, what I want to focus on here in this moment is that they come back to us. Like, we are the people they want to talk to about that. They'll text us and say, Meredith, oh my God.
I'm sad.
This is hard. I'm scared.
This is hard. I don't want to be a doctor anymore.
Totally.
Right? Biology is hard. Yeah. It's funny. I was thinking about the meetings I had yesterday, most of which were college coaching related. It just so happens we're recording right now on a Tuesday, and a lot of my Monday meetings are college counseling oriented. And my last meeting of the day, we were talking about summer plans, and this kid who I really want to have on the podcast might learn MMA stuff over the summer. And, you know, he and I were talking. So, and I do Muay Thai. And so we spent the last 15 minutes of our meeting watching YouTube videos of Muay Thai fighters that I like and analyzing them together. And so, on one hand, right, it would be really easy to sort of hear that and wonder, what the heck am I spending money for? You know, that's 15 minutes you could have been drilling my kid about what test to take. I mean, frankly, he and I have been working together for a long time. We've covered all the material. We went through all our to-do items pretty fast yesterday. But what I think that speaks to is this relationship that develops over time. And I think when rapport is established, it's transformative, particularly for young people. And what I love most about the work that we do is that as students move through this process, I feel I've done a good job as a college coach if they need me less and less. If they are like, I got this. I know how to write this essay. I know what I'm going to say when I go in for my interview, because they are trusting themselves more, because they've learned through our meetings over time to believe in themselves, who they are, to embrace who they are. And that quality of capacity and confidence is so much more compelling in the college process. That has a really lovely natural consequence of making them also, I think, more competitive in the process. But it's transformative work. And so when you see these kids kind of like start to believe in themselves more, start to do better academically, start to feel more able to take risks, it's like, it's not about, okay, you have to get a 1460 to even consider applying to these three schools. Like, what a boring conversation. Sorry.
No, I think that's so great, because I really wanted to make this point on this episode and I would have forgotten unless you'd said that. But I was talking to Andrea, one of our college coaches, life coaches, just a coach on the Village team. And she said, I saw her for dinner. She lives in Pennsylvania. She came from California for dinner about a month ago. And so we sat down and I was like, how are you liking Village? And she's like, I love it. And I'll tell you what, it is way harder. She also consults with an IC group. And It's like, I do IC work for this other company and Village is so much harder. Like, what we do uses 90% of my brain. What I do for the other company uses 10% of my brain. Because it's formulaic. You kind of end up doing the same thing.
That's right.
You have the same conversation over and over and over again. And it's not that hard. So, you know, when parents are like, do I need an IEC? And I was like, all the information is actually on the internet. Every IEC company puts out tons of blogs and free information and resources. There's so many great places. Your school is going to have great resources for, I mean, there's just so much information is publicly available. It's a pain to cull through it. I totally get it. But you could probably get what you needed, just like the overview.
You also
like
don't know. They don't know how to suss out what is valid and reliable and what isn't.
That is true. That is true. Facts. But if you like, if you did like a 3 1-hour consultations with us, we could probably like lay out the landscape for you pretty clearly.
Totally. I could do that in an hour.
Like actually 1 hour. I was trying to be generous. Okay, so
let's be real. Let's keep it real. If you wanted like the most, I could say, okay, here's the calendar. Here's the benchmarks. Do this by these times, right? Here are 10 different resources you could check that would help you. Okay, here's what a target reach likely is. Okay, here's how many you should probably think of applying to. Bye.
Totally. And I think if you're for most parents, they can't do that for their kids because their kids are teenagers are like, whatever. And parents don't trust that things are going to get done on time. And I think that's why you hire an IEC, right? Is to have somebody making sure that all the boxes get checked when they need to get checked. Village can do that. And we do that with our students. But the extra layer of it is this rapport, relationship building, getting to know students, building lifelong skills, not just skills that get kids, not just helping them through the tasks that get kids into college. That's not really our final goal of working with students. It is one of the goals is to make sure that they're happy with their college options and that they're happy with the college options and they find a really good fit school for them, right? But it's just really different. And that's why I think parents a lot of times, I wanted to do this episode so that because I find myself constantly repeating the difference. And it made me realize like, wow, we really just do things really different. And it's super high touch. We only coach 16 kids at a time. That's really different than a lot of IECs. I met one that was coaching over 100. I was like, what? Just you?
Oh my God.
I was like, that's too many.
Well, wait, let's be clear. You and I have the most kids. And I think I have like 14 or 15 because I started a cap. But like, I don't do college coaching for all of those. Right. I probably am only doing college coaching for half.
Yeah. Half of your list. I think most kids who start life coaching with us oftentimes end up doing college with us because they're like, oh, well, Meredith knows me so well at this point. Like, if we're going to hire an IEC anyways, like, let's just keep working with Village. So I think a lot of kids end up
doing
college for us. The other question I want to answer is when to start, because a lot of folks work with us like end of junior year and like, can you help us with the college process? And we can. And at that point, we're really operating more like a traditional IEC.
Yeah. Then we're like, really like, okay, let's check some boxes here.
Yeah. We got to take you through the paces to make sure that you are ticking the boxes, right? To make sure that you have a successful application process. But for a lot of our kids, like the youngest kid I'm coaching right now, I started with in sixth grade. How about you, Mare?
Seventh grade is my youngest.
Right. That's not the majority, but like people are always shocked. They're like, you're doing college counseling with seventh graders. And I'm like, no, we are.
No, I'm literally talking about, what did I talk about the other day with the seventh grader? It was so cute. It was like, we had a lecture about, we had a conversation about chores. We had a conversation about why it's so hard to put the dish in the dishwasher, like the 10 feet from the table to the dishwasher. Like what is transpiring? Yeah, no, I mean, I think most of what we take on is the life coaching that becomes something else, which is great.
So most kids are actually starting with us in high school. So I would say outliers are middle school kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are starting with us freshman or sophomore year. I think that's pretty common. And sometimes we'll get a junior and sometimes we'll even get a senior. But I would say the majority of kids are starting with us freshman and sophomore year. And we, yes, and parents are like, and you're meeting with them every week. It's like to talk about college. No, we're not meeting with them every week to talk about college. We do have different conversations here and there about college when they come up. But a lot of the time, you know, we're just talking about their life and what's hard for them and what kind of goals they want to make for themselves and what things they want to make better, and or just talk about what's making them sad or excited, just talking about their feelings, right? What's going on in their lives.
Well, we're building the skills that they're going to need for life, but also to navigate the college process, right? So, you know, the other thing I was thinking about, I was having this conversation with a student of mine also yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, also yesterday. And we were talking about summer, right? And we have a few episodes on our podcast about what to do with summer, how to think about summer. And it makes me think of this distinction between how I talk about summer and how I know other IECs talk about summer. You know, I tend to talk about summer from this place of authentic identity and interest. You know, what lights you up? What's the skill you want to develop? What excites you? What are you passionate about? Like, you know, I draw some lines. I don't want you sitting in your pajamas till 4 o'clock every day, eating Cheetos and playing video games. Like, that's sad. Don't do that. You have to photosynthesize every now and again. But I don't start the conversation, frankly, or finish the conversation with, okay, I've heard you say that you want to major in life sciences because you think you're going to be a doctor pre-health. So therefore, your summer needs to look like this. You need to do this program and then this program, and you need to check out that program, right? I think if you were to just be a fly on the wall of our meetings, I'm rarely speaking in declarative statements, except when I'm chastising kids. I'm like, well, that was dumb.
Or a really good example is we're not going to give you access to a database and then be like, pick three of these things.
Oh,
like,
God, no.
Here's a database, look through the database and pick the three things that you like. I sometimes will give kids a database if they are just like totally like have no idea what is out there. I oftentimes point them to Teen Life and go to the Teen Life website. They have a ton of different, just so many different types of summer activities. Just scroll through and see what types of activities.
Yeah.
Right. Is it something academic? Is it something service oriented? Is it something that has to do with the environment? You know, whatever, like what social cause comes up and what types of things are available for you. So, but I rarely will be like, okay, STEM major, here's our STEM database. Go pick three STEM things.
And I think this is a point of tension sometimes when parents, even sometimes kids, They really want us to tell them what to do.
Oh, yeah. We don't do that.
Really, really badly. Just tell me what I need to do. Take the guesswork out. Enough of this developmental crap. That was cute, 9th grade and 10th grade. But now we're down to business, down to brass tacks. Tell me what I'm supposed to do.
Well, and sometimes I will, just for fun. I'll be like, okay, Callie, I don't know. I can't decide. I'm like, you want me to decide? Okay, you decide. I'm like, okay, you're going to do this. And they're like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm like,
exactly. You're going to go on a 30, 40 day outdoor canoeing trip in the Adirondacks. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because it also means that sometimes I have to be like, listen, this is one of the beautiful things about not working in a school. I will say this. I get to do college coaching the way that I want. Hard stop, right? I'm not obligated. And, you know, sometimes philosophically.
Village, dude. I was like, why do you think I started Village? I was like, I get to do it the way that I think is best for kids. This is what I think is best. And this is how we're going to do it. And if you don't like it, there's literally thousands of other people.
Right. If it doesn't work for you. And we've had this conversation sometimes with clients. It's like, hey, it's okay. There's no hard feelings. There's no judgment. Like this is a way that we approach it. And if it doesn't work for your family, it doesn't fit your family's needs, you're expending resources. We get it. But we're not going to change the way. And the reason we're not going to change isn't because Kathy and I are like stubborn people, although we probably are pretty stubborn. It's because you and I actually studied child development. Like, we approach this through a developmental lens always. And I believe, and I know you share this belief, that it's about playing the long game. It's about growing good humans who become good adults, who are steady on their feet and able to tackle uncertainty and challenge, because life is full of both of those things. And the college process is but one of many waypoints on life's journey where they will encounter uncertainty and challenge. And so it's not about what college they go to. It's about growing the skills to navigate the process of getting into college. And then before you know it, in the blink of an eye, college is going to be behind them. And they're going to have another life challenge and another life challenge and another life challenge. And have we, as coaches, helped them foster and develop foundational skills? And this is a belief that I share, that I believe I think you would probably agree with this. And I think this is my counseling degree really coming forward. It's like in a therapeutic setting, you have to enter into that dynamic with this inherent belief that that client is an expert on themselves and that meeting them with curiosity is the way you'll learn about them. And I believe that children are really underestimated in our society, and teens in particular, and they're actually really smart and really savvy, and they can develop tremendous self-awareness. They often need encouragement and some guidance and some buffering, but they know themselves. I told my student the other day, I was like, you know you better than anyone. You know you better than me. Why am I just going to sit here and tell you what to do? And there are a lot of adults, and I'm kind of riffing here and going on a rant because I just believe in this strongly. There's a lot of adults that think they know better than kids. And there are ways in which we know better. And there are ways that we don't. And I don't know. I just think it's like a little arrogant to just be like, I'm going to tell you everything you need to do to be successful in life. It's like, what makes you an expert? I don't know. Like, I actually think I am a teen expert, and I'm still saying, like, I guess it's like that adage, like the more you know, the more you don't know, the more you realize you don't know.
Yeah. And I get what you're saying. And the times where we are stepping in being like, we know better than you, is when we see kids in crisis and we see kids who are really depressed and anxious and not doing what they need to do to be taking care of themselves. And those are the times where we step in and be like, yeah, you're not doing what you need to be doing. And I do know better than you. So sorry.
Right. But I don't, like, when I see a kid make, this happened the other day. Student and I am going back and forth about course selection for senior year. And I believe that one of the paths to take that would be wisest is to continue foreign language for the fourth consecutive year, given what I know to be their goals. So we've had this conversation many times. And I'm not saying go do this. You know, also, I can't force a kid to do anything, by the way. But I'm saying, here are the pros and cons. Here's how this could land. Here's, you know, here are the reasons to think about it from this angle, that angle, et cetera. But ultimately, your call. I want you to make an informed decision. So this kid is making a choice that I believe is not in the best interest of his college process. It is a less rigorous curriculum choice. He knows that because we've talked about it. I'm not going to then have 30 more conversations with him and pester him to do the thing that's more competitive for college. I'm going to say, okay, well, then let's accept what happens.
Absolutely. 100%. I kid this same thing, junior, taking way more APs than I think he's capable of taking. Won't listen to me, won't listen to parents. He's taking all the APs and he's getting his ass kicked. And it's kind of like, I'm so glad that this was your choice. That none of us forced you into this really rigorous.
Yeah, curriculum. Totally.
God forbid. You know, if he was getting his ass kicked and one of us were the ones who were like, you have to do this. Can you imagine? Oh no. So I'm like, well, at least it was his choice. And now he's living with that choice. It's a great life lesson. It's a hard one, but it's a great life lesson. So I'm going to make one more short point before we leave. Meredith and I are not pooping on IECs, even though it may sound like we're pooping on IECs. We are IECs, right? We just call ourselves life coaches or college coaches instead of independent educational consultants or college counselors. So we're pooping on IECs. There are plenty of IECs who actually share our same philosophy. We're great, who are our friends, who share the same philosophy as us. I think Village has packaged the approach differently, and I hope other people will follow suit. I actually think more IECs who are philosophically aligned with us, I hope they will change their model so that it is more deeply relational and high touch. But I'm saying all of that as you are shopping, if you're looking for IECs and you're trying to figure out what the best fit for your family is, you really have to, you know, it comes down, Meredith and I say this all the time, to values. What is it that you want out of this process, right? And what is going to feel most aligned with your family's values? So that's my two cents.
I like it. Take it to the bank. Well, everybody, that's another episode. Thanks so much for listening, and we hope this one was helpful. See you later.